Hello and welcome to episode 10 of season 2 of the Engaging Internal Comms podcast. This is the show for employee engagers and internal communicators who like to keep up to date with all that is new in our profession. Hello, my name is Craig Smith from The Big Picture People. I hope you're keeping safe and well wherever in the world you are and at whatever stage your local situation is regarding the pandemic and coming out of it. I hope you're staying safe and well, and all your loved ones and your relatives and your colleagues are all in good shape. Right, I'm going to talk a little bit about just about an event that we've got coming up that I just wanted to share with you before I talk about the podcast itself. On the 29th of April 2021 at 3 p.m. UK time, we are running a free webinar, which I'd like to invite you to come along to as one of our listeners. The webinar is titled Helping Employees Understand Your Organization's Big Picture. And the premise behind it is that from our experience is that a lot of business leaders find it quite challenging when it comes to explaining their organization's mission, vision, and values and strategies to their employees. And that's what we're referring to when we're talking about the big picture. What is this big picture that our organization is operating within and trying to achieve? That's usually because the leaders are very close to the detail, and often the story, the whole narrative, is very complex and difficult to articulate, and particularly in one session. So what tends to happen there, though, is as we probably know, is if we're working in an organization where people aren't really familiar with what it is we're trying to achieve, why we're trying to do it, and how we're trying to do it, then that can lead to a situation where employees are not as engaged or connected to the organization as we would like them to be. And obviously, as a consequence, business results, customer service, etc., can suffer. So what we're going to be looking at in the webinar is that very issue, but also what are some practical ways that we can actually deal with that and help our leaders to be able to communicate these complex messages to communicate this big picture to our employees in an engaging and a sustainable way. So that's what we're going to be sharing with you on the webinar. The webinar, as I said, is on the 29th of April at 2021. That is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon UK time. You can sign up for the webinar via our website. So if you go to thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, that's thebigpicturepeople.co.uk. At the top of the page, you'll see our events tab. If you click on events, you'll see a list of events that we've got coming up. And the first one on that list is Helping Employees Understand Your Organization's Big Picture, which is our webinar. You're more than welcome to sign up. We have a limited amount of places available. We only have 100 seats, which sounds like a lot, but our last webinar filled up. So if you are intending to come along, please book early. Get yourself a seat. That's easily done via the link on the website. It'll take you is a book now button. Click on that. It will take you to Zoom, which is how we're hosting the webinar, and you can sign up via that link. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. Regarding the podcast, we are now into, this is actually episode 40 chronologically of the show. We're almost coming up to our anniversary show, and I'm going to talk about that in future episodes about what we're going to be doing for our anniversary episode. But we're alternating now between the interview shows like today's and the occasional episode that I'm doing in between, which is usually just me and me sharing a resource or a tool that you can use. So you'll find those interspersed with the interview shows. If you are new to the show, welcome. There are 30 previous episodes in season one, which you can find on our website, engagingic.com. And you can also, there are 10 episodes, including this one of the series two, which is also on our website as well. And you can click on the different series links and access previous episodes from the respective seasons. One final request from me: if you could share this podcast, this particular episode, or any of our episodes with anyone who you think would find it beneficial, find it useful, that would be absolutely fantastic. We're always trying to grow our audience, just broadens our appeal. broadens our ability to connect with other people who might be interviewees on the show and bring you their ideas, different perspectives on our fascinating profession. So on that note, I am going to go on to today's interview, which I think you will find an interesting one, as I did. What are the first things that spring to mind when you think about the company intranet? Now, some of you might be directly responsible for running your company's intranet, your organization's intranet. Some of you may be directly involved in renovating or updating your intranet at the moment. My recollection of intranets goes back much longer. I've not worked in corporate life for many years, and I'm not actually directly involved with company intranets, but my memories of intranets were very much repositories of information. And I guess in today's social media age, where companies are using Yammer and Facebook, workplace by Facebook and Microsoft Teams, I was interested to think about what are organizations doing with intranets and how do we turn them into social dynamic places where people are engaging and communicating and conversing with each other, and do they have a place today in modern organizations? So I reached out to someone who I've known for a while, who is an expert in this area, who's worked with intranets and with companies' intranets for a while, and I wanted to ask him those questions. I wanted to find out, are intranets still relevant? What can we do in organizations that have intranets to make sure that they're modern and vibrant and places that people are congregating and using, and that we have a purpose for our intranet, that we have a clear understanding of how it fits in to our communications mix, our range of communications that we have at our disposal. So, and also at the end of this interview, there is a story that I found quite humorous as well, which I hope you can hang on to and listen to right to the end. So my interviewee today is Nick Daggett. Nick is Senior Sales Manager in Votra, who are a company who create and maintain the conditions for professionals to do their best work using technology. Prior to that, Nick was Head of Business Development at Oak Engage, and Nick has many years of experience of working with clients to develop digital workplaces that need to communicate to their workforces wherever they are. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hello, Craig. All right. There's a couple of words I'll pick out there. Many years. Oh, senior sales manager. You know, that just makes me feel older than I already look.
Oh, no, no, no. I know you started at you were a kind of a slip of a lad when you started. So, Nick, you are very, in the old world, we would have done this face to face, because you are very close to where I'm based. Whereabouts in the world are you? Because we have a global audience. Where are you, Nick?
Yeah, I missed the face-to-face, Craig. But for those who wouldn't have seen us together anyway, I'm based up in the northeast of England, just outside Newcastle. I've been back to the northeast about 15 years. I was on my travels for about 10 years before that, up to Glasgow, down to Manchester and all around, but home, yeah, obviously called us back, didn't it?
You've come home. Fantastic. And now you're did I get that right? In Votra?
It's funny, I think I say in Votra.
Yeah, potato, potato.
Yeah, it's just like when I used to work at Oak, a three-letter word, O-A-K, but there's too many vowels for us, Craig, isn't there, for us Northeasterners? And I come out with Oak and in Votra, but Oak and in Votra.
So tell us a little bit about the business. How big is it? How many people work there? And I kind of explained that you create these conditions for businesses using technology. You translate that for us into, you know, what it is you do for the people listening in.
Oh, you're dead right. You're right. In Votra, we're there to kind of enhance that employee experience. Been founded since, I think, 2014. I'm based up in the Newcastle office here, although I guess I haven't gotten to see that much lately. But we've got an office in Ireland, and our head office is down in Woking in Surrey. And there's 45, 46 of us, I think, at Invora.
Yeah.
And we kind of split between this kind of the group has got the the kind of the intranet. I'm going to talk a bit about that, the intranet side of things, the software bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's Invortra Consultant. That's all about the strategy and the consultation and the plan. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. Sort of organizations that you work with, Nick, they've been the businesses.
Yeah. So primarily it's public sector. So we have some smashing customers in terms of their size and their remit. So Department of Work and Pensions, that's near up you and I, isn't it, Newcastle?
Yeah.
You know, nearly 90,000-95,000 employees there.
Yeah.
We've got the Home Office and HMRC, Department of Transport. The latest one, the one that interests me, they all interest us, but the one that interests me the most is the project we picked up last year, which is the NHS Test and Trace.
Right. Very contemporary.
Isn't it? Topical. Yeah. I mean, if you think this time last year, that organization didn't exist, did it? And then all of a sudden, you know, 20, 30,000 employees from all different walks of life and all come together.
Yeah, I've got this idea for a business. What are we going to do is we're going to test people for, for viruses, and we'll trace where they're going. And do you think it'll fly? But wow. Who'd have thought that?
Yeah, anyway, so there you are. Go on.
No, I was going to say, no, that's brilliant. That's kind of a really good heads up on the business. I think you said you had a little fact that you were going to share about the business.
Well, I found out that I think something like 45% of all civil servants, all of the 45% of government employees out there use Invortra as their intranet. Do you know what I mean?
Share
and communicate and collaborate with each other and engage. And I guess they do that on, I don't know, any device, anywhere they like, and that obviously enhances that experience. So there you go. That was the fun fact that I found.
Fantastic. Well, that's a lovely lead into what we're going to be talking about today, which is intranet. And you know, my I've known you for a couple of years now, and people ask me about intranets. I hear people talking about intranets. Last time I worked in corporate life 15 years ago, intranets were very, very different probably to what they are now. So I'm coming at this from a kind of perspective of what I don't know. I'm sure some of our listeners probably will know a lot more than I do about intranets, but I'm going to come at this with some naive questions. So tell me, I'm going to dive in straight at the deep end, Nick. Yammer, Workplace, Twitter, MS Teams. Tell me why do we still need an intranet? What does an intranet offer?
Need to stop there with Yammer and Workplace. You could keep going, couldn't you? You could add to the list SharePoint and Zoom and Slack and Google and WhatsApp and TikTok. No, maybe it's not TikTok. But it's funny, isn't it? Because there's probably more applications and systems than we've ever had before, aren't there? You know, there are potentially too many to choose from, because ultimately who do what? And this doesn't include CRMs and HR systems and, you know, service desk survey tools and emails and text message and Facebook and house party. But you get the idea.
The list continues,
doesn't it though? Because back when I were a lad, it was the company handbook that you got in through the post, you know, once a month, and that was it. And we needed that connection with our employee, but it's easy for the employee to now be confused. Where do I get my expenses? How do I check out and read that policy or message a colleague, read the latest news, Craig? And I guess it's not just the employee who can be confused with all of those systems and all that stuff going on, Craig.
Yeah.
Internal comms teams, you know, which would you pick as an internal comm team to have the most impact, you know? What's the best for collaborating or communicating with your staff or showcasing the brand and the news or events, Craig? So I guess what I'm starting to paint this little picture of is a bit of an understanding, the beginning of what we now know as this digital workspace. I'm waving my arms around as if you could see what
I can feel the rush of air through my ears.
Animation.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I guess the internet, I suppose, is the one thing that still brings all of this together, isn't it? You know, it sits in the middle, and it helps the employee find the stuff they're looking for. You know, it's secure, it's efficient. Of course, it's going to be professional. You know, you're not on WhatsApp and, you know, on Facebook Messenger. No, you're there with your company to get the right guidance and signposting, and the internet should be there to connect people to content and people to people and each other and so on. And I don't think that's changed, Craig.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Like,
I can see, and you know, obviously the analog with the intranet was, it was like the internal internet. It was, if mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. find something, you know, and nowadays I would, you know, Google it if I wanted it. And I guess it's not trying to replace a certain, well, to a certain extent, I guess it will have some search engine functionality, but it's my kind of, my world that's linked to me. And I guess that like links to, this quote I kind of stole from somewhere else, but I kind of liked it. It was, again, my recollection of the internet was, it was a bit like a digital warehouse of where people would, you know, kind of, oh, we'll scan those files, or we don't want to lose that, so let's stick it on the intranet. So in some cases, I guess, you know, and this is going back a long time, it did become a bit of a repository for,
I think, it, you know, paperless
office type stuff. Yeah. And I know what you guys do is goes much beyond that. So I'm kind of asking some kind of devil's advocate questions mm-hmm. type here. But mm-hmm. so if they're looking at, if an internal communications team are looking at the internet and positioning it, as we've said, in that, mm-hmm. that plethora of other tools that I could use for doing similar sorts of things, well, how would you ideally want them to position the intranet in their minds as a resource?
I think if you, even the word intranet can strike fear or boredom into sort of, because you're right. I mean, actually, the way you're thinking, if you're saying it's 15 years ago, there's many organizations still out there with what we now believe is this legacy, old style intranet. So I'll just maybe think of that a little bit with you and get some ideas around what we think of it being old and draconian, because ultimately we want the opposite of this. So I guess, you know, if I remember many moons ago when I was told, you know, get yourself on the internet, you only ever exhaled after it, you know, why? Because it wasn't intuitive, was it? You know, it was this desk-based clunky user interface, and it was draconian and boring, and you know, sometimes I couldn't even remember my blooming password to get in. So that was quite annoying. And
in my mind, it's like CFAX, the kind of graphics. Not that.
That would be funky and retro now, wouldn't it? That would go down really well. But I mean, if I asked you, what type of content did you think, you know, 15 years ago or even now? I mean,
it was policies and procedures. It was where do you go to? What do I do if my granny's sick, sort of type thing? You know, what's the company policy on this? I always remember when I won't name the organization, but it was an organization where they tried some, this is late 1990s, I think it would probably be. So this is like, you know, it really is in the midst of time, where they tried some sort of instant messenger thing, and within a week it was turned off because, you know, people were just hurling anonymous abuse around at each other and making completely inappropriate comments. So, and you know, and that was the kind of dabbling, I guess, of that early instant messenger type.
You're right. I mean, you would go there. No one woke up on a Monday morning, Craig, wanting to sign a policy off, did they? So, I mean, there's a disconnect instantly there. You're dead right. It was always, you know, the top down, wasn't it? This content came at you. It was push. It was generic. It was one size fits all. So it didn't resonate with any relevance, did it? Or like, it was like this broadcast communication that came at you. And it still might be like that in a lot of cases out there. This untargeted, dare I say, too much noise, you know, with all these systems and all this going on. So the content is another way of looking at the old style, and maybe is where we come from. I've got a couple of others if you want us to continue on the what did it look like before or even, dare I say, now.
And then we need to get onto the what it should look like now, because I know you've done some amazing, you know, work, and I've spoken to you about some of that. Let's have a little bit more of a sort of recollection of maybe what some of that stereotypical views of the internet might be.
And it's still the case, because without any purpose. What is the internet going to do? You know, but that's like anything, isn't it? You build something without any goals or desired outcomes, without any strategy. But I've said that for years. You know, I'll look at intranets now. It's some of our prospects or customers out there with other organizations, and it's like the field of dreams, isn't it? The build it and they will come. Yeah, and you go, well, what were you hoping for, you know? And of course, it just gets inherited. So you talk to somebody and they're like, well, I've just been lumped with this intranet. And what, you know, there's little governance on it as well, I suppose. So that's there are a few pitfalls to look out for on the purpose and that side of things. And I think the other thing to think of as well is, it's just ginormous. It's just this great big, you know, where nobody's got any time to. It takes forever to build. So, I've known some cases just like you. I'm not going to name any names, so don't worry. But I've heard, you know, intranets taking 2, 3, 4 years to implement, Craig. You know, I mean, by the time you've reached that, you know, the implementation, the launch stage, you'd have to go back to the Golden Gate Bridge and paint it all again, wouldn't you? Because your objectives will have changed so much. So there you go. A quick reflection on what is the problem, I guess, because ultimately, you're right. There's a new way, isn't there? You know, it's a user-led. The purpose is all about what does the employee need.
Let's flip that then, Nick. And so let's start to look at what are some of the possibilities. So, you know, if they're looking at what options are available to them now, what should we be looking at? Because the way I was, you know, thinking is intranets now should be social, they should be modern, they should have that kind of, they should invite you in to want to use them when you need them, but also an element of you know, kind of not compulsion to use it, but a desire to go on there and see and catch up. So tell me a little bit about some of the best practices or good practices that you kind of come across or you've employed with your clients to sort of make that intranet experience more in keeping with what people expect these days, I guess.
I think you touched on it there, actually. You know, rather than have to use it, you know, like it's the chore. What's the hook? Why would I want to use it? You know, and I suppose if you just have in your mind, everybody's an author, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the best way, because then everybody can collaborate, you know, everybody can jump in. Just look at the opportunity now with it being personalized, you know, and when I say personalized, by the way, Craig, I literally mean it recognizes who you are, you know, where you work. It might pick up on your interests or even better still, your behavior, you know. So I think just it recognizing who you are, because then it can be more relevant and you can get content that is more, you're more likely to click on. So I suppose the first thing, you know, in the morning, one of the first things I open is our intranet. You know, it's on my phone, incidentally. So typically having a mobile app where, you know, an employee recognizes it. Even now, Craig, these mobile apps, they're branded, so it looks and feels like it's the company. You know, you're not going into the separate system and logging onto the VPN or any of that. It's got to look and feel engaging. I always think this is my trick, right? My North Star is always, what does the BBC homepage look like? You know, it's terrible, isn't it? But that's the way, but it's true, isn't it? Like, I mean, we have now an expectation, like in search. So if I go looking for something on anything that's not Google, I instantly go, this isn't Google. Now, I'm not saying that intranets need to be as good as Google or that it needs to look as good as the homepage for the BBC, but it has to be familiar, doesn't it? It's got to feel instantly intuitive, or that's when your engagement's going to drop. That's when, you know, you pick your phone up and you go, nah, I don't need to be on there today. So I guess that's something I would always kind of get to talk about. But underpinning all of that, Craig, is it's user focused, you know, based on outcomes. What's the purpose? Like, yeah. Seriously, ask why. That's all I do, is I just ask why. Are you after better reach? Is it for critical comms? You know what I mean? Is it for brand focus? Are you after? Or yeah. There's a workforce out there, Craig. The unconnected, you know, yeah. deskless yeah. workers, frontline staff, people who aren't like you and I, dare I say, sat at a laptop, right? They're out busy right now without any of that kit on them to go and check a policy on the internet. So I think it's those deskless workers, the previously unconnected, you know, who yeah. deserve this more than anyone. So there you go. There's a few things that I would.
There's a few things. And I mean, you know, typical applications. I was, you know, being facetious earlier and I was saying I want to check up how much time I can get off of my granny's ill sort of thing. But you know, typically that's, I guess that is still a legitimate usage for the intranet. I need to be able to find a policy. I need to be able to find out what terms and conditions or holiday procedure, those sorts of things. But I also want to be able to use it for not more interesting things, but, you know, more, and also I want to have a good experience when you said earlier that you can, I guess, are you using sort of cookie technology to be able to recognize people and what their preferences are and suggestion that they might be interested in this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you know, typically, I don't know, you've just said there, you know, it's all going to vary from client to client as to why you're using it. But what would you, if a client came to you, because I guess you get people to come and say, well, I don't know. I just, you know, we've got an intranet and I know we need to update it.
I think that's always the challenge, you know.
Yeah.
Is that actually
the sort of functionality that you would suggest? Yeah.
Do you know what? I think the functionality is a byproduct of achieving the outcome, isn't it? So,
of course.
So ultimately, if I'm talking to an organization and we're looking to see any of those problems that I was illustrating before, you know, lack of engagement or a disconnect with their employees. Well, what are we looking for there? We're looking for something that's certainly engaging through a collaboration, you know, tool or widget or what do you call it now? Applet or something, Greg, you know, that's going to build, you know, a sense of community. And I literally mean you could have somewhere on your internet space for, you know, people to share ideas and cat pick, you know, pictures and like and share and just have forums of, you know, what films are they talking about, but also they could talk about work stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's creating this, this culture, isn't it? That actually there's an environment you can go to, like a hub that's not email. Do you know what I mean? It's not a direct chat, unless it needs to be, I suppose, and not a direct chat area where you can kind of collaborate with your colleagues and ask questions and things like that. Think of this, you know, think of a new starter. This is always a great one for me to think, you know. Before day one, right, of your new start date, you can almost feel the anxiety creeping up on the Sunday night, can't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And typically what would have happened? You know, you'd have gone into work and then you've got your induction and it's just face after face. And nowadays it's online, isn't it? But then you get a load of policies to sign off. But actually this new starter is going to recognize right from the start, you know, what's the culture like? Is the CEO involved here? You know, am I allowed to comment on a news story? Well, everyone else seems to be. But that's come from the top, hasn't it? Maybe it's come from the ground up too, where, you know, this collaborative, you know, social environment. So a new starter would instantly pick up on that. Do you know what, Craig? I would even say new starters nowadays are receiving their intranet before they even set foot in the office, you know, and I think that's a great way to kind of bring them
on board them
brilliantly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just feel the nerves disappear because you can see your gaffer, you know, 3 days beforehand. You know, we talked about the deskless workers, all right, ordering your uniform, serve, you know, getting the policies out of the way, knowing is this the place for my pay slips or, you know, expenses and things like that. So there's a few ideas from there.
And And just what you were saying there about forums and chat rooms, and maybe this is my kind of cynical, not cynical brain, but, you know, my kind of way I'm some experience that I've had, maybe some of the environments I've worked with in the past. And is there moderation required there? Is it, and who does that? Because I guess, you know, 95% of people will always, you know, be appropriate. And, but you know what, the kind mm-hmm. of keyboard warrior mentality mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. particularly if people start to bring in anything that's that you don't really want them talking about in a workplace platform. How do organizations typically do that sort of thing?
They said that when email came out, didn't they? You know, true but enough, it's true. Yeah. It's still said. Yeah. It's still said, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
Oh, what are people going to do? And actually, trust is a massive thing here.
Yeah.
From both sides. Okay. Yeah. So, as an employee, do I trust this system? You know, is it like another tick in the box exercise where, you know, they're going for like the employer of the year award or whatever, and this is one of the things they need? Yeah. Like, is this head office keeping an eye on us? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Trust is massive from their side, just as much as it will be, you know, to kind of say, listen, this is your tool, this is your system. And usually, whilst there will be moderation and you can obviously do all of that type of stuff, it's reasonably well policed internally, you know, because
self-regulating,
the accountability is on you, isn't it? You know, because I know when I was younger, if you got this, you know, it's too good to be true, isn't it? It's social, you know, employers' internet where you can chat with your colleagues online. What? I'm not going to mess this up. So I'm not saying that moderation doesn't happen or doesn't take place. Of course it does. It's in the same way that email and everything else that's digital will, Craig. There's a response. I tell you who's brilliantly, of course, you know, the younger generation, Craig, actually are born into this, aren't they? You know, they know that actually at, you know, 13, 15, 16-year-old, their digital footprint's going to be around in 10, 15, 30 years. And anyway, yeah, so it is important. It shouldn't be overlooked, but I guess that's one thing.
Yeah, yeah, you've not. You've made a good point. Is you know you wouldn't. There are certain codes of conduct that you would expect adults to comply with, and I guess it's they know what they're going to. They know nowadays. I think people realize nowadays that you have to take accountability for what you say in the digital realm as much as you do in the real world.
There's a couple of other things, Greg, I'd point out as well, if I'll get your thoughts on these as well. But typically, you know, all those other systems I mentioned of before, you know, like Teams and, you know, 365 and SharePoint and all of that, it's no good having this central place if you can't hook up to it. So I think integration over the last few years has been key, you know, I'll ask you this. Do you think, I don't know if I have the answer to this, by the way, but do you think staff care where information sits? Like, do they care if it's on SharePoint? So I go looking for a policy.
No. They're kind of agnostic to, you know, the platform. I mean, I've heard...
You just want to find it, don't you? You know?
Well, exactly. It's what works for me. I mean, it's interesting. I've interviewed people on the show who, people who've talked about, we tried this and then, you know, we found people are actually using this. So we said, well, let's stop using that and start using what they're using. You know, I often use this analogy. I did some creativity work with a client a few years ago, and there was an analogy that we used there, which was, you know, when they kind of build these, new developments and they kind of lay out the paths how do you get to the different doorways, and people just ignore them and walk on the grass. And it was these people, what they did whenever they built a development like that is they didn't put any paving stones down and they just waited until everybody kind of trod the grass down in the most sensible routes to get between the buildings, and then they paved them. And I think you've kind of got to do that with these platforms, haven't you? You've got to give people... You've got to find out what people like to use and how they use it, and what's the most frictionless for them to use, and then go with that rather than locking yourself in. And I think what you were just saying there, which is what interested me, is I think the problem is with a lot of organizations, bigger organizations, is they've got too many different platforms, because we use this for this and we use this for that, and then we use this for the other thing. And actually an intranet that can kind of help, you know, pull all of those things together as a tool, I think is a very, very compelling offer.
There's a new normal, isn't there? Like March last year, the way we worked changed in a heartbeat, didn't it? And it may not ever go back to what it was. And that's some of that's okay. But because actually we now know the emphasis on employees is their well-being, right? And the focus is on morale and the employee experience and the culture and the value, you know? So this is just as important as well. You know, you're looking it is, as I said, a generation far younger than you and I who almost expect this, right? Anyway, before pandemics and things like that. So I think that's, you know, this new normal where there's much more work online, there's less human contact, it's remote work and this central area, you know, where you can go and jump to another system, find another document without knowing or caring where it is. But, you know, within one or two clicks, you're there, you've got it, you're off, you know. So I think there's a fair bit to be said for this for this new normal.
So one final question before we kind of have the wrap-up questions. Let me play the role. I'm an internal comms person who's got responsible with the intranet. It's, you know, the intranet's there. It's kind of, you know, ticking over in the background. It's, you know, it's not something it's number one on my priority list, but I know it's probably got some potential I'm not realizing. What are some simple things other than calling you guys and getting you guys to come in, but you know, what are some things I could do myself to maybe reinvigorate or re-energize it, or maybe reposition the way I'm thinking about the intranet and my sort of panoply of tools, my toolbox of things that I can use?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. I don't think there's anything wrong in a relaunch or an upgrade or a change. And there's a few things you can do to help increase that collaboration and interest and engagement. First of all, it's got to look fresh, isn't it? It must be user-led. It's got to be fresh, user-led. It's got to focus on what the employee wants. Now, how are you going to do any of that, right? You ask your staff questions, you know, like put out a survey, you know, quiz them, get some feedback. You're setting your stall out then, I think, aren't you? You know, you're kind of saying, listen, I want to hear from you. Now, you might not choose to use the internet to do that. There are platforms out there where you serve questions to your staff and you get the response, but ultimately you're asking them, how do you want to be contacted? You know, is the internet there for critical comms? Is it there for collaborating? Is it there for just the news? But listen, they will tell you, and everyone will have a slightly different response, but already you're engaging your audience, aren't you? And if you carry that on, than a relaunch. I'm never far away from changing, you know, the face of the internet. And whether that's a lick of paint and you bring in a few GIFs, do you know what I mean? And you sparkle it up a little. Have you come across any internet names in your time, Craig? Have you?
No, they're kind of, for me, I guess I've got no, there's no kind of brands, you know, when I spring out for me in my mind when I think about intranet providers.
Sorry, the actual name of an intranet. So, you know,
thinking about, you know, who's the kind of market leader in intranet. And I guess that's one of the questions I had is the, you know, do we need to change? Stop referring to it as the intranet it is now, you know, the globe, or
I
don't know without naming obviously any names or
I'll not name the companies, you're right, but the go-to favorite was always the Hub. Any listeners out there, if you've got the Hub, it's okay.
The
other one would be like my insert the name, okay? So if it was, you know, Disney, you know, it would be my Disney you would go to or something. But
I can think of a company actually. You know,
I had a long
employment relationship with that had an intranet that was named my dot dot dot. So
other ones, oh, this is probably old fashioned now, but the water cooler or the town hall, you could see that being. There was I'll just say a car company. They had the garage or the, I've heard one called the pit stop. That was pretty.
Right. Okay.
The garage, actually, if I think about it, that's going back to the roots of the company of where they started. Right. You know, does that mean now that we'll have in a few years' time, internet's called the bedroom, Craig?
Yeah.
Which other ones did an idea? I've heard one was called Dwight. Do you have any idea why?
No, you've lost me there. No.
It was the American Office. I don't think I've seen the American Office, but there's a guy there called Dwight Schrute, and he was like the know-it-all employee.
Gareth, I guess, in the English version. Quite a name, same ring to it. Sorry if anyone was listening called Gareth,
I have heard companies call it, you know, like Clive or Dave or Keith or whatever.
Right, okay.
I came up with one. Do you want to hear this? This is terrible.
Is it appropriate?
No, it's all right. Yeah. You know how, I don't know if we just say it up here in the Northeast, Craig, but you know, if like someone says, you don't know the answer, you say, oh, I haven't got the foggiest.
Right.
What I if like you that. Had an internet called Foggiest.
Yeah. Like, well, it's a bit like Ask Jeeves, isn't it? You know, I haven't got the foggiest. No, I like that.
You can have that one. Anyway, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a relaunch, aren't I? You know, user-focused, put a bit of fun on it. There was a customer I worked with a few years ago, and they did exactly this and relaunched, and they went out and they quizzed all of their staff, what should we call the intranet, and the winner was Intranetty McIntranet Face. So they had to something else. But
careful doing that. No, I think what you're saying there is sometimes not having being able to give it something that's the interesting name, or making it look appealing. Obviously, then I guess then you're into sort of functionality things, which is more than skin deep, I guess, and where you would probably need to think about making an investment to improve functionality. And who tends to do? I mean, who tends to do that sort of thing? And typically, would it be the IT department's responsibility to look after the internet, or obviously your clients? You would kind of do that for them, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the internet needs many owners. Ideally, if there's a central comms team, that's perfect. Even if it's just one person, I don't think it should be owned by the IT department, although it probably is in some respect. Sorry out there, guys, but that's just how I feel. It ultimately needs champions, doesn't it? You know, it needs a captain of each area to kind of look after and take responsibility. And whether that's somebody who looks after the well-being page or, somebody's in charge of the policies and the governance side of it, it doesn't matter. But I think the more people that get involved, obviously, the better, because ultimately someone will move on and then you'll be back to that square one. I've inherited this thing that I don't know what to do and I don't know what the purpose is. So there was one you got us thinking there about, what else could kind of folk do to kind of kickstart their intranet up again or refresh it or something like that, or reinvigorate, you said, didn't you, and energize. But there was one, again, I'll not name any names, but they were a large company and their intranet, hands down the best intranet I've ever seen, right? Mm. It was beautiful. It had a pulse, It was engaging. Yeah. It was rich in content. There was loads of video. Not a soul commented on it, any news story, right? It was barren. So they would post these brilliant videos out and no one dared go on. And what was important for them was collaboration. It was, getting people chatting. You could see all of the views. You could see all of the, activity and behavior. That was through the roof, but no one dared say anything. Mm. It was just too polished. Do you know what
I
mean?
It's almost like I don't want to dirty it or contaminate it by putting my fingerprints on it sort of thing. Yeah.
Blogs came from the CEO. Well, somebody on like the shop floor or the front line, like they wouldn't you wouldn't comment on the CEO. So we went about an exercise of just kind of almost like mucking it up a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like almost
yeah.
Making it this area that felt like actually you could pick your phone up and, you know,
used coffee cups lying around and rings on the table.
Yeah.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to link that back to the episode a couple of shows ago on episode 4 with Kai, who was talking about that sort of same problem with in terms of with Yammer and those sort of to workplace and those sorts of tools where, you know, unless you get that conversation going, it's kind of quite sterile. And actually what we should be measuring is the degree of interaction. And there are things that, you know, what he talked about there, and I think it probably equally applies to intranets, is that there are things about the way that the people who are posting the stuff can couch it and ask questions and respond to comments that start to draw people into a conversation. And so it isn't just a kind of a soapbox for them to sort of shout out the corporate messages from. I think that's important as well.
Yeah, dead right. Yeah, nailed.
Anyway, well, look, that's been fantastically interesting, and for me, particularly from my perspective of refreshing my memories of, you know, I think what you've said there is that left to their own devices, intranets can, you know, kind of fit that stereotypical image that I had, which was, you know, which was really because I think the technology back then didn't have the potential now. But I think what you're saying is that if you're clear on why you've got an intranet, if you're clear on, you know, it's like anything, you know, what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to do it? Why have you asked us to come in and help you? What is it about our offering that you're interested in, that you can then make sure that it isn't just a kind of box ticking exercise and that we're literally just going through the motions. And I think if you can do that and you can create a fantastic environment, I like the idea of integrating all of these other different platforms where in a kind of one-stop shop for employees, you know, for me, I could just really see how that's compelling, particularly in this day and age of just noise and confusion and where do I find stuff because it's just all over the place. Anything from you just as a final kind of summary on this before I've got a couple of other questions to ask you before we wrap up, but
I think you summarized some of that pretty well, but you're dead right. You know, what did I try and say earlier? You know, everybody is an author. Treat it like that. You know, everybody should have their say. It comes from every angle, top to bottom, bottom to up, left, right, sideways, everything. So think of it like that. User focused, user led, you know, with the employee in mind, ultimately with the focus on what's the purpose, you know, and really the purpose should always end up with more motivated, happier, productive staff, because ultimately if you're happier, you do more work. If you're happier and you're more motivated, potentially there's, you know, you take less sick days or less likely to leave, and you know the rest. So
you go. Fantastic. Well, look, I know the final question I was going to ask you, which is nothing to do with intranets. Well, it might be. I know you've put lots of preparation into the answer to this. So this is my standard. What would someone who knows you quite well not know about you? I know I've known you for a while, but you know, there's lots I don't know about you. So, but I'm not the, you know, we're talking about someone who knows you. You've for years. So come on, what is it? What is your some amazing, surprising fact?
Oh, I don't. You wish you'd dropped the word amazing there. But listen, I've been customer facing for like what, 23 years or something. It's horrible when you say that. But you know, there's people that work in my team who are younger than that, Craig. But I've always really been customer facing and focused.
Yeah,
I've been in sales for years. I was a buyer before that, but little. Not many people know I started life out as an electrician.
Okay.
Least technical, like you will not believe. Okay. So for the first 2 years, I left school and straight out and got my qualifications, did my apprenticeship. And there are houses and surgeries out there that have been wired by hand by me.
By you.
All right. Oh, and sometimes I often drive by and think, God, it's still there.
The roof isn't just sort of blackened.
This is genuine now, right? I can't wire a plug, right? I'm looking at it. My boy got a hoverboard. You're not going to believe this.
Right.
My boy got a hoverboard for Christmas. Do you know those little self-balancing boards?
Yes, I know them well.
So he's got one of them. And it's currently sat on my desk because it hasn't been work in the last week. And I've taken it apart, and it's sat here for a week and a half upside down with all these wires hanging out of it. I'm going to take a picture of it now, and I'm going to send it directly to you. Yeah. Started life as an electrician, definitely didn't finish as one. There you go.
Okay. Oh, I love the idea of driving past properties that made me surprised that nothing burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh,
it is worrying.
I don't think I've laughed so much on a podcast recording as that. That is one of my favorite. Well, if remind me, Nick, if I ever need anything doing with an intranet to give you a bell, but if there's any kind of problems with flickering lights, I'll probably give you a minute. If that's all right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. You can find, obviously, you can get us, there'll be a link on here, is there? Or you can find
Yes, I was right. That's absolutely. So, what? No, that was my final thing was if anybody wants their home rewire, sorry, if anybody wants to do anything with their intranet,
hoverboards.
Hoverboards preparing. I'm going to put a link to your LinkedIn profile. Mm-hmm. And I link into Invotra. Any other resources? Are you a tweeterer? Are you sort of prolific on any other social media platforms where
I think they're the best.
They're the best two, are they?
But you'll see us at events and
I'm
talking at one, fairly soon with Atlas Cloud. You could find me there, but ultimately just get me on LinkedIn and look forward. If anyone's got any questions, I'd love to answer them.
And I can vouch for the fact that you are a very helpful chap. There's no obligations when you ever pick your brains.
I was going to say that I've enjoyed it.
I have as well. The anecdote about your previous life as an electrician. But absolutely brilliant, Nick. Wonderful to speak to you. Stay safe and well and all of that. And really look forward to catching up with you face to face in when that world returns in the very near future, hopefully.
For a coffee or a pint.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. Craig, I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. Look after yourself too. Take care. God bless.
Yeah, all the best. Thanks, Nick. Bye-bye. So thank you very much for listening to Engaging Internal Comms. We hope you found this episode useful and interesting. We'd love to get your thoughts about the show and any questions you have or ideas for topics that you'd like to maybe cover in future episodes. You can email us at info@thebigpicturepeople.co.uk, or you can get in touch with us via the contact form at engagingic.com. You can also sign up for our mailing list there, and we'll send you relevant news about the show, future episodes, and we'll also let you know about anything interesting we found out about internal communications and employee engagement. If you like the show and you haven't already done so, please subscribe to it via your podcast service. And you can also subscribe via the links on our podcast page, which again is engagingic.com. If you like the show, we'd be really grateful if you could leave us a review. And if you know anyone else who might be interested in the show or might benefit from it, please let them know. Please share it with them and share them with them the links to the show and engagingic.com. Thank you very much.